The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it's Wednesday. That means it is a Brady Quinn football show! I had to switch my earphones so I actually couldn't hear the air horns there. But, you know, I made a piano.
You missed out.
I was on Nick Costas' radio show on...
Why?
His producer asked me to do it.
I'm kidding. You know, I like to give Nick a hard time.
Oh yeah, it's fun. But I was on there, and I was talking about how the Chiefs scored really fast in the AFC Championship game. I was like, you know, they just scored. It was like pew pew pew, and he's like, well, that was pretty good air horns. And then I tried to explain that this is that we made that noise for the Brady Quinn football show, and he cut me off.
Yeah,
and said, I don't care about your podcast or Brady Quinn.
Well, which is probably true, knowing him. But no one cares about Nick. And that's why he has to wear robes and slippers and stuff just to get someone to watch him. Hey, the funny thing is the genesis of the air horns, right? Like, it actually came about purely because of a visit to the University of Miami's practice, where I was like so in awe of how they would announce someone's speed, you know, the miles per hour they were running, whether it was a positive play or not. Like, that was how they handled practice. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Now it's a thing.
Hey, you know what I heard? We're supposed to, I was running late to start this podcast because of a parenting issue. So we can't do too many tangents, but I did have somebody, two things. One, you had some sort of magazine article written about you. Very cool. Or some sort of online article written about you where you talked about, leverage. Venture capitalism. Philanthropy.
Sure.
But somebody also hit me up and said that they heard your name floated as a possible senatorial candidate in Ohio. Is that any truth to that rumor that you'd like to address now on the Brady Quinn football show?
I can neither confirm nor deny anything that would be anything politically related. So I'll just leave it at that.
I think you'd be a great senator. You should run. I wouldn't want to lose you as like a I don't think that really benefits me in any way, because I'd lose you as a body. I assume, you know, if you were a sitting senator, you wouldn't do a sports podcast once a week. But
in a hypothetical situation, usually sports and politics don't mix. So let's just say in a hypothetical scenario, I was ever going to venture into that realm. It would mean the end of my sports broadcasting career, and it would probably start kind of a new venture in life. So. That would be one of the things, unfortunately, I'd have to sacrifice, even though I do have a ton of respect, regardless of what affiliation and all that, you know, people who serve our country and decide to become lawmakers. I know they get like a bad rep a lot of times, sure. But the reality is, it's a thankless job for a lot of people, but they're trying to, you know, they're trying to work for the best interest of everyone involved. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I sort of brought this up as a kind of a joking thing at first, and apparently this is not that joking. But you'd be great at you'll be great at whatever you do, Brady. Whatever path you walk down in life, I'm sure you'll be great at.
Thank you. That's like advice from my older brother. How much older are you than I?
3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years, but it's like you and I, for example, are a lot closer being 5 years apart in age than like me to someone who's 5 years younger, only because they experienced college with a cell phone and with social media, or I should say, you know, Facebook, those sorts of things. Like, you probably didn't hit any of them.
No. We're 3 years apart.
Even 3 years.
Yeah.
Even 3 years. So even, and so I would say 3 years younger than me too. Like, the Facebook had just come out when I had started getting in college. You know, you had a cell phone, but like text, I remember I kept trying to text message people, and they'd always say they never received it. And it, like, they didn't really understand the concept. Now it's like something everyone does. And like, now I like leaving voice notes. Like now I'm like back to like the old school. I want to leave you a voice note because A, it disappears. And then B, it's just more fun to be able to speak in your phone and say something quick instead of like wasting your time getting carpal tunnel, having to text something.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So you're, it actually, that's really weird. You're my younger brother's age. I only have one brother, but you're the same age as he is. Okay. I wouldn't think of you as Charlie's age, which is, I think that's what happens with professional athletes, though. You know what I mean? Like we haven't been friends for that long, but like, you know, you were like in the NFL when I, you know what I'm saying? Like just the timing of it is different than, like, I don't think of LeBron James as like younger than me.
Yeah.
That's hard to kind of wrap my head around.
It's interesting watching LeBron James age. Cause I was talking earlier today, which like we were talking with Carlton Davis, the quarterback from the Bucks, on a radio show. He was talking about comparing Tom to like LeBron or Jordan. And then that kind of segued into this whole other discussion of like, oh, wait a second. Like you said, LeBron and Jordan, you didn't say like which one, you know, which one in that debate. But I was thinking about it because we got onto like some random tangent of like for 43, Tom Brady looks like he's like 33 right now in Tampa. Like win or lose, I would say there's like a good chance he comes back next year. You know, either way, like he just tries to get eight or, you know, he's like, ah, we lost. I'm going to go back and get another Super Bowl. But he looks incredible for his age, man. Like, I don't know what, maybe it's the TB12 method, but in comparison to like LeBron, who's not as old and hasn't played as long, but like kind of a difference. Like when you look at little LeBron, when he came in the league out of high school, I mean, granted, you're going to mature and grow a lot more, but still like drastic difference between the way the two look.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, like little LeBron coming in. I mean, all these guys who are now entering the NFL, it's kind of depressing because it's like freaking like Antoine Winfield Jr. is in the NFL. And, you know, here comes, I mean, all the young guys. I don't know.
I mean, I was in Seattle with his dad. Me and a couple of like older veterans at the time, which he was way older than I was, but I remember like being there in 2013 and, you know, they had paid him a substantial signing bonus, you know, just to basically come out and help their nickelbacks prepare. Cause we both got, you know, released in those final cuts. And, it was interesting just to kind of talk to him though. That guy had a wealth of knowledge. He really was a special player. Even at that age, like he still, I think he might have went on and played that year. I'm not sure, but he still could play at a high level then.
Yeah. And, these guys just play until they're older now, including Aaron Rodgers, who is certainly in the news today. We'll talk about him. We will talk about Super Bowl talk, coming up in the week. Of course, we'll talk about Brady next week. You'll be in Tampa, right?
I will. Yeah.
Star CBS Sports HQ. Are you going to have to basically spend the week with Prisco, which sounds incredible.
Thank God we have to quarantine from one another. So
yeah, exactly. I hate to imagine what his hotel room will look like when he's locked up in there after a week.
Oh, think about it. It's going to smell.
Oh,
all the acidic food he eats. Ugh.
It'll smell like crusty Red Bull and like, and like a litter box of like, oh, he might bring his cats too. Oh,
litter box. Gosh, there'll be like a litter box. There'll be Red Bull, empty cans of Red Bull everywhere. There'll probably be like a smelling of meatballs, like old Italian food that like, you know, that the hotels don't have their cleaners come through. So there's just like piles of like pizza and old Italian food sitting around everywhere.
Over under on number of times Prisco says from Saturday to Sunday, I'm going to get out there and get on that Tampa track. I'm going to go exercise tomorrow, and then doesn't actually do it. We'll set it for 5.5.
So says it and doesn't do it. I would take the over. I think he will get in. He'll say he gets in more days than he actually does. And he'll probably like do some old man thing or like walk or something, but that'll be the extent.
I don't think he'll actually exercise at all. I think
that's, I'm with you, but he'll say he did or he say he's working.
That's what I'm saying. That's like the entirety of it. He'll be like, oh, I'm going to get on that track tomorrow and really get out there and get some exercise and I got to do it. And then like by Friday, I'll be like, just stop saying it. You're not doing it. No. We will have a coaching winners and losers cycle or coaching cycle winners and losers coming up. You can check the feed for the Kenny White early Super Bowl betting preview. And, let's dive in. Aaron Rodgers. So I think we're recording this at around 3:00, 3:30 on Tuesday. Aaron Rodgers probably cleared up a lot of the chatter by appearing on the Pat McAfee show with a very entertaining episode with AJ Hawk. I think you know him, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the reason why he does the weekly with Pat, because not Pat, but because of AJ. But yeah, sure.
Right. AJ Hawk is the reason Aaron does it, right? Yeah. But you are obviously close. Well, maybe not obviously. We've talked about this. You're close with AJ Hawk. At any rate, Aaron Rodgers got on there. It did seem like maybe what was kind of should have been obvious is that 48 hours removed from losing the conference championship game, from making the comments that he did, that he had time to sort of decompress, and that he was said the obvious thing, which is like, hey, maybe this got blown out of proportion. I was just trying to keep it real. This is how I feel. There is no certainty, no assurances in this business.
No,
he does expect to be back in Green Bay next year. Did that do enough to quell this whole 48-hour storm of Aaron Rodgers for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we knew whenever this season was going to come to an end for Green Bay, and we talked about this last week in the pod, there would be that lingering question of, all right, what happens now with Rodgers and the Packers and everything else? And a couple of things became apparent after the game. Clearly, he was, as he said, gutted. He was distraught. He was drained. I mean, we tend to forget, like, this season's been more draining than maybe any ever before because of the COVID protocols and the amount of stress that people face, not only just trying to go to the facility and play and the way your schedule has to be adjusted sometimes due to COVID, but also just in your personal life. You know, for him, he's not married, but, like, still he's impacted by that to a degree, and other players and, you know, their families are. So I just think when this season has ended for many players, there's all this just big sigh of, oh, like, the Senior Bowl is going on right now. They had a hard time finding staffs, right, to want to do the Senior Bowl, in part because of the sacrifice that they made and have to make it again. It's just difficult to talk guys into this year. So I think all that was weighing on him. You know, the decision by LaFleur, which he's trusted him since he got there. And you've seen now back-to-back years going to NFC Championship games. It's kind of worked to a degree, but, like, this time it just didn't work out. And you can make the case that if they don't call the pass interference call, they get the ball back, they have a minute 40 left, that plan works out. I would still argue it wasn't the right call, but again, history is history in this regard. I think he realized that it created more of a stir than he probably wanted it to, and especially because he wants a new contract. You know, that's the reality of it, is when you look at the contract situation going into the offseason, he's being compensated equivalent to Jared Goff. He obviously is the MVP this year. He's played better than Goff. He's played better than everyone else, you know, who's in that conversation. And I don't know that he's going to get $45 million per year, which I think is the new money average for Mahomes. But I do think he's going to get some substantial number for at least the next couple of years or a few years. And I think you've got to be you've got to play kind of the good soldier if you want to go into this, you know, these conversations with Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur in the organization and try to work out that deal that compensates you the way you think you should be, and after this year, you know, probably deserve to be, but also gives you a little bit better of a situation where if next year ends up being the last year he's in Green Bay, because at some point they got to move on, right? Sure. Unless they just want to trade Jordan Love. But whatever the case may be, you want to do a deal with people that you have the most equity built with now. And so when you do get traded, you're not, like, worrying about having to negotiate with a group where you're older, you don't know them as well, you haven't won them a Super Bowl, you haven't done as much for that group, they're probably not going to look at you quite the same. So get the deal done that you want playing for the Packers and that future team done now, and then that way, you know, I think it works out better for him in the future. And obviously he wants to get a little bit more money too while he's at it.
So when you say, and I think you may have hit on the crux of this, and it's possible. I also think that what happened was Aaron Rodgers in the heat of the moment after the game. I mean, look, the reality of that game is that Aaron Rodgers played awesome and he was let down by his coaching staff to a degree, his wide receivers to a degree, his offensive line to a degree, and his defense. Really, everybody around Aaron Rodgers is part of the Packers organization and the infrastructure. And I'm not saying that they all completely crap the bed, just that, like, Aaron Rodgers, there's only been two times ever, I believe, where a quarterback has thrown for 300 yards and three touchdowns in a championship game, or at least in the last 20 years. and that team has lost. And both times it was the Packers and it was Aaron Rodgers. That's tough. And I think that he probably felt let down. You know, like that's why he and Matt LaFleur didn't have the same, they weren't on the same page when they were with their, like, Matt LaFleur's like, hell yeah, I want him back. And Rodgers like, well, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't think he felt betrayed by LaFleur. I just think he felt let down.
I told you what I would have done in that scenario. I don't know if we talked about this, but.
Oh, we didn't.
I would have forced LaFleur's hand and called a timeout.
Oh, I like
that. And then I think you walk over and you say, like, what's the thought here? Because I, the way I was looking at it.
Call the timeout, you gotta go. I
mean, that's. Exactly, right? Like you were saying, like, yeah, you were trying to save all those stop, you know, stop clocks, but now you can't. So I would have looked at it from this perspective. I would have been saying to myself, you know, Matt, hey, let's talk about this because here's my thought. Regardless of what decision they made on that fourth and goal from the eight play, whether they decided to go for it and scored a touchdown in the 2-point conversion or kick the field goal. So let's say the reward on both sides in that decision, you're still going to have to score again to win the game. Okay. But let's look at the downside risk. So let's say that you kick the field goal like they did. And then you don't get the football back, or even if you do, you still need to score again in order to, you know, to win the game. But there's a chance you don't get it back and you lose. That's the downside risk. Well, in the downside risk of the touchdown 2-point conversion, you know, let's say you do get the football back, you don't score, you're going into overtime, right? Or if you stop them, they run the clock out, you're going into overtime. You're prolonging your chance to win. That would have been my thing to Matt is saying, look, regardless, we have to score to win in either scenario, but this scenario gives us a better chance of at least prolonging the game into overtime where we have a shot at winning. So I would have taken a timeout and tried to talk it out over with him. And then at that point, you've kind of already forced his hand anyway. And whether he agrees or not, your hand's kind of dealt. And by the way, you still have two timeouts and a 2-minute warning. Because that play is going to be relatively quick as it is.
Well, the 2-minute warning play, if you go for it, the 2-minute warning play.
Hear me out. You're at fourth and goal from the eight. That play is going to be relatively quick. Similar.
If you don't get the touchdown, the Bucs are going to. It's not going to be the 2-minute warning. Like it's just, like it's not going to be like I was saying. Like the Bucs will get the ball with more than 2 minutes left, so you'll have 2 minutes and a timeout, absolutely without question.
Two timeouts.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So three stop clocks.
Yep.
You know, because like we kind of forget like the whole Mickens return where he slid. It was like, dude, you still gave them a chance for
you've got
a stop clock, job,
and that's to get like 5 seconds off the clock.
Just wait. Like, you can return the ball and just look at the clock and run straight or run around in a circle.
Run the ball on the 10-yard line. Run like from the sideline.
Like a video game. Just go back and forth. Just keep wasting time so the 2-minute warning hits.
Whatever you do, don't slide with 2:04 left.
Yeah, just don't give yourself up before the 2-minute warning. Just don't do that. Oh, you did it? Oh, okay. Like, perfect.
It was crazy. It's like, all right. I think that was, I think he just felt sort of let down by all that. And by the way, the other thing that's kind of baffling about it is if you're not, it felt like LaFleur didn't know whether he wanted to kick or not. And it was going to depend on down and distance. And if that's the case, call a play that is going to get you, like, call, you know, tell Rodgers, okay, look, if you have the throw, take it. If not, pick up 5 yards running. You know what I'm saying? And worst case, it's down.
So a couple of things. I don't know that, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers thought they were going to go for it regardless in that spot. And the reason why I say that is this, you know, your fourth and goal from really the 4 and back, probably to about the 10.
It's about the same.
And you honestly would rather, I'd rather be fourth and goal from the 8 than fourth and goal from the 4 or 5 because we're throwing either way and you have more space. You know what I'm saying? So, and plus you got to think about like the break points and everything else and the timing of the rhythm, the drop and all that.
I would sort of think about the touchdown to Zach Ertz in the Eagles Pats Super Bowl, you know, where like they were, like, you know, it's almost you, having that cushion allows your receipt, like you can run some motion and get a guy isolated and then you can give him room to work and he can actually get open and you can have a look at the inside. I don't even know if that was fourth down. That just sort of that play, you know, there's just more room to operate.
Right. And that's the thing is there's more room to operate. There's a little more spacing. You can kind of stress defenders more depending on the type of coverage they want to play. You know, if you're from the 8 as opposed to the 5 or 4, whatever the case may be. Because in that instance, like, you're not going to risk running the football and not getting, and you look like an idiot. So you know you're going to throw the football. Even on the three, you're probably still thinking I'm throwing the football. Unless it's on the two or one, that's the only place where you'd say, I still probably have my entire playbook in, even though it's risky to run the football and get stopped there. Still, really from the, you know, 4-3 back, you'd rather have more space to throw. So I kind of look at it and just think to myself, like, regardless of what they want to say, they're in a good position to do it. But again, that's kind of hindsight. We've got 48 hours after the fact. He's kind of made this, this declaration that he wants to be there and he expects to be there. And so it's kind of crafty on his part because now it puts the onus on the Packers. Like, all right, like, what do you do? Are you going to give him the contract that he wants and pay him more and compensate him the way he should be? Especially once he's like holding that MVP trophy and waving that. Or are you going to go through this next season where he's going to have, you know, really no guarantees after this year, a very economical deal for any team that would trade for him. But any team that trades for him has to be cognizant of the fact that they're going to have to, you know, put in some bonuses or guarantees to make it satisfy him or make him happy. He's not going to be happy with that deal moving forward. And that might be one of the tougher things too, to get a trade done if that's the case. So if you're the Packers, it might stink, but at least if you're going to have him for one more year, pay the man, extend him. And then it makes it a little bit easier conversation, I think, down the road in trying to trade him. If you do indeed decide you're going to move on and you're going to go with Jordan Love.
I like that idea. You figure out a way to maneuver his contract that brings him back in 2021, coming off an MVP season where Rodgers looked comfortable in a new system, played really well. This is his best chance to win. I think he would shred in San Francisco, probably Los Angeles.
Oh, too. L.A., San Francisco. I mean, both California teams, you'd assume you want to go back there.
Right. But I mean, like, it's kind of crazy to move cities at that point, at this point, when you're comfortable, you're finally getting comfortable with the system. You have Devontae Adams, you have a good offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. But to your point, you know, renegotiate the contract, move the numbers. So that way he is, you take a huge cap hit next year or whatever it is, and then you make him tradable in the years after that while getting him some extra money. That makes a lot of sense. Let's take a break. And when we come back, well, another NFC North quarterback could be on the move. Where could he land? The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Matthew Stafford and the Lions are, there's always a new kind of breakup in the NFL, Brady. Whether it's mutually parting, is this what they're doing? They're mutually parting ways?
Yeah, so the word I got was Matt had talked to the organization after the season, and he made his declaration known. So even when they went through the head coaching search and general manager search, they were aware that it was basically for sure that Matt wanted to move on. And so, you know, they didn't want to announce it until some things were in place, but this had nothing to do with the hiring of Dan Campbell. It's just, I think both parties came to an agreement. They said, hey, look, it's time. I've been here for a long time. I've done the best I can to fight through all this. But why don't you guys start fresh, see what you can get from me. And then, you know, why don't we try to maybe work together to make this thing happen?
Well, and I think Matthew Stafford is one of the good dudes in the NFL.
Great dude.
Awesome guy. People don't give him enough credit for how he puts it on the line every week, like how he battles through injuries. And he's, you know, he was labeled injury prone earlier in his career. I mean, I think that playing in Detroit as a number one overall pick, I mean, you played in Cleveland as a first round pick. Like some spots are just, it's not fair to the player, and you're just not going to be able to go in there and turn everything around. And for Stafford, I think that was a reality. And
don't ask Pete Prisco that, because he'll always say that Carson Wentz or whoever else goes into Cleveland, they'll be. I'm like, Pete, you don't get it.
Yeah,
you don't.
Like Pete's covered this league a long time. He knows a lot of people in the league, but until you're like in the lot, until you're in the building, you can't definitely say what a place is like. And
yeah, but and you don't know the levels of dysfunction. You don't have a feeling for things when you're there, and it becomes a lot more apparent as a player. And it became a lot more apparent to me. Like, I remember going to Jets my sixth year in the league and immediately feeling the disconnect between John Isaac and Rex Ryan, and like the tension and just how awkward it was and just the lack of culture and just where that team was at. And you're like, oh, this isn't going to last. Like, you could feel it walking into the door and being there for a week.
And you said too, like when you went to Seattle, you're like, oh man, like, yeah. Why didn't I land? Like, man, you know, like, I mean, and there's nothing you could be like, why didn't I get drafted by Pete Carroll and John, you know, John Schneider? But to that point, I think one of the things that Stafford did here in the way that you phrased it is really interesting. Because Dan Quinn, I mean, yeah, excuse me.
Dan Campbell.
Bob Quinn
and
Matt Patricia were fired in the middle of the season.
Right.
Matthew Stafford, who missed some time as well with an injury, had time to sort of plan out how he wanted to handle this. And he didn't do it in a bratty diva fashion. He could have made a stink about it and had his agent, you know, leak stuff to the press. Instead, he went to the team and he said, you know, he said, hey, look, I want to get out of here.
Right.
But he let them go through the process of hiring, knowing that was on the plate. And then they announced it mutually on a Saturday night that that was the plan.
And here's why it's smart, because let's look at Deshaun Watson. All right. For example, how are you doing yourself any service getting where you want to go? They're not going to release you, Deshaun.
Right.
So it's going to have to come via a trade, and you're only driving down the value or the ability for Houston to accept any offer because of that. So, you know, again, and I don't think it's necessarily all Deshaun. I think it's probably his agent or the people who are just absolutely fumbling this whole scenario. And so you look at Matt Stafford and how he's worked it out. Like, he's going to find himself in LA, in Indy, maybe in San Francisco. Like, all three, if you're asking me, like those would be my top choices I'd be looking at as a quarterback if I'm in his shoes. And they're going to get back fair compensation for him. And I think the biggest question is, we're not going to know until the deal happens. Like, is Detroit going to do him a favor if they've got two offers and one's just a little bit better than the other, but they're like, hey, this is where Matt wants to go, so we're doing it for him? Or are they just going to take the best offer regardless of who it comes from or where it's at, right?
Yeah.
That's the biggest question of how they're going to handle this moving forward. I think because he's been a good soldier and because of how he's handled things there, I do think they'll do this right for him. I could be wrong, right? You kind of got different ownership. I know Chris Spielman's has had a big impact in that process. He completely gets it. So I think they're going to do the right thing in that.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because you would typically say that Deshaun Watson, because he's the more valued player, given he's 12 years younger than Stafford, would be the first domino to fall here. Or maybe he's 12 years younger than Aaron Rodgers, whatever the case may be. Anyway, much younger, much more attractive, you know, piece of the pie. But I think that Stafford might operate independently, almost like Philip Rivers did last year with Tom Brady, where there's going to be a couple of teams. I think you nailed them. Indy. I don't know if LA counts because the dead cat money for Jared Goff, but maybe. I think Indians.
Or it'd be in a trade scenario, right? Or, you know, maybe there's a third team involved. I mean, here's the one thing we know. There's two things that I think has happened the past few years. One, you know, evidence of like how much difference a quarterback can make to help improve your team's ability to get a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. I mean, case in point, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Bucks, and case in point, Cam Newton to the New England Patriots and how different that looks. Cause New England with Brady this year, regardless of how it looked 2 years ago, they're still a playoff team. You know, that was not the case this year. And so we know how important that position is now to any team's success, but highlighted probably more so now than ever. And even though that came via free agency, I do think teams are going to be more aggressive moving forward, and they're going to be more creative moving forward. That's something we're starting to see more and more too. So I wouldn't be shocked if you didn't get like a three-team trade scenario involved to be able to move around all those pieces.
That would be spicy. So I think San Francisco makes all the sense in the world. They have a good offensive line. They have a really creative play caller, Kyle Shanahan. Stafford on the off play action in his offense would be absolutely lethal.
Right.
And I would probably pick them as my Super Bowl team if they acquired Matthew Stafford. I felt like he could get in there, learn the offense quickly and be healthy. And I can't imagine he wouldn't be able to. They don't have a Kenny Galladay type, but they've got enough guys who can get vertical and a good run game, and the defense shouldn't fall off the cliff. So I think that's a perfect spot. Indy would be awesome too. I mean, you know, I don't think he has a whole lot of experience in a Frank Reich system, but
yeah, no. I mean, he's been in enough where I'm sure there's some familiarity. I mean, how many different OCs has he played for? Five, six?
15? Yeah, probably. A lot. Five or six feels short, but yeah, I mean, there's got to be somebody he's played with that's similar. Also, Frank Reich is going to make it simple for him, and you know, he's not going to overly complicated. They do a ton of that, you know,
when you get a running game and defense too, somebody's never had there.
Right. And like, I mean, you think about how Phillip Rivers played in that offense. He's going to get a ton of play action looks off.
He'll be even better. He'll be even better than your boy Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. No, I mean, he'd be throwing bombs all over the place. They got Michael Pittman, who's a good player. I mean,
that hurt you too. That did it. Just a little bit hurts you. Yeah.
No, I'm a huge Matthew Stafford fan. So I'm going to root for whoever Matthew Stafford plays for next year. That's okay. What I've decided. That's right. My new team. And which, you know, really bring it all home. A sleeper for Matthew Stafford. And I don't think
Chicago?
No.
You think Panthers?
A sleeper for Stafford, the Panthers, yeah.
I would think draft with their position where they're at. You know, you just went the veteran route with Bridgewater. You know, granted, he's a better talent than Teddy, but I would think draft where they said a number top 10 for sure.
Seven? Or eight, yeah, seven, I think.
But, so I mean,
and that's the problem. Like, could the Panthers be a Deshaun landing spot where they give up their first and second picks and a Brian Burns possibly? I think if you're Carolina, the only way you're trading for Stafford would be if you give up your second round pick. Like, I wouldn't give up.
By the way, one of the reasons why, I mean, he's going to go for a first and something else.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And in part because of his contract. He only has 2 years left, right? But it's really economical in comparison to everything else. So I think that's the other thing. In a year where you're looking at a cap that we're not sure what it's going to be, but it's going to be at best plateaued. It'll be about the same, or it could be at what, 180, 185 million. So that fits much more comfortably over the next season and the following season. And so you get 2 years to see, you know, what he's capable of doing with him, before you want to extend him, which is attractive. So I think that's going to be out there for him too.
Yeah. And the thing that's been floated through the media is that he wants to play for a winner, which, you know, he's like, I don't think he cares about money, and I don't see why he would. He was on the old CBA. You know, I mean, like, money is probably not a huge problem for him right now.
You know, everyone says that. And then you watch some of these other guys who don't play as well as you get compensated more. And they're like, all right. I mean, for example, Aaron Rodgers, like his number is 33.5 million. And you might be saying, well, why does he want to be paid more? Well, because the new money average for Mahomes is 45, and he's the MVP this year. And it's like, anyone who has money will tell you they want more of it. And anyone who doesn't have money wants money. So I always hate that argument or discussion. He doesn't care. Yeah, he does. Like, everyone does. You know, that's why you're willing to pay an agent, you know, a percentage of your contract to negotiate on your behalf. Otherwise, if you didn't care about it, you just do the deal yourself. Because then you're not worried about whether there are other incentives or guarantees or anything else that's in it, because you're not worried about money. So who cares if you get injured and you don't get that money, or who cares if you don't earn that incentive, or whatever the case may be?
Yeah. So I guess I just mean that, like, Stafford would prefer to go to the 49ers on his current contract than like go to the Jaguars on a Patrick Mahomes contract, would be my guess.
All right.
You know, right. I mean, like, I think that money is not like, when he's ranking, he wants to win some football games for the first time in his career over like a 2 year span. Then he'll worry about the cash, because it'll come if he's winning football games. He's playing.
He's young too. Was he 33?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, let's be honest. Like, I know he's been beat up a bunch, but you go to one of those good situations, he's got another good four or five years in him, maybe. I don't see him drastically deteriorating as much as others, unless he, you know, I mean, obviously he's got ridiculous arm talent. So that's part of the reason why I say that. Unless he had like an injury to his arms, elbow, shoulder, something like that, where you're going, I don't know if he's coming back from that. I mean, the back issues obviously are worrisome, but yeah.
And I actually think that if he goes somewhere like San Francisco or LA, you know, or even Indy, that he's going to be healthier for longer because he's not being forced to put it all on his back and take these huge shots that he was taking with Detroit.
Literally and figuratively, yeah. Put it on his back.
Put it on his back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like taking, is he out there like ripping shots?
Well, no, he's had like 2 years in a row dealing with back injuries, but yeah.
We sort of touched on Deshaun Watson, but very quickly, where do you think this is headed? Cause it now the latest is that it's the owner, which you signed a contract. Like, it's not like the owner's new, man. I mean, I don't know.
Look, I'll just put it this way. Cal McNair, again, we've talked about this, but he started this whole problem, this whole issue. Had he never extended to Deshaun, whether he's on vacation or not, however the scenario, had he never extended that, you could be on a general manager head coaching hire, this isn't a problem. That was the first issue. The second issue then became, though, how Deshaun Watson responded to it. Like, now I'm going to throw a hissy fit over the fact that you guys hired Nick Caserio. Like, I wouldn't be looking at that and being upset about it just because I wasn't a part of it. I'd be looking at that and saying, oh, you mean the guy who's helped Bill Belichick, New England Patriots, win a bunch of games and Super Bowls. Huh. Yeah, I want that guy too. So his reaction to it, or the people around him, or his agent, whoever's managing that, has done an awful job. And they're not seeing the bigger picture. And I feel like they're really misplaying their hand. Now, ultimately, you know, do you want him to be involved in the head coaching hire? Yeah, you might want him to have some input. I don't know that I'm just letting him decide on all of it. I mean, let's say they hire Eric Bieniemy, which is supposedly the hire that he wanted all along. Is that going to solve the issue? Like, is that going to really like calm everything down? I mean, you did just come off a career year. Like, do you really want to try to go to a team like the New York Jets, who I would say walking in the door and looking at them on paper right now is the worst roster? And then you put on top of that, are you going to hamstring them and say, yeah, I need, you know, 2 first-round picks or 3 first-round picks, you know, in that trade? Okay, sounds cool. Now you're in New York, but you just lost the next 3 first-round picks. Like, how's that helping?
Equivalent of Houston's like draft selections, right? Like, yeah.
How did that help you out? And that's only going to help out Houston because you're going to be a bad football team for a while. Miami's a good football team, young. Buffalo's a good football team, and New England's New England. They're going to be more competitive than you are. So you literally just left the division that in the past decade, let's see, they've won, what, 60% of their games? Is that fair to say? They've won the division 4 of the last 6 years.
They've won the division with Brian Hoyer and Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, they've been to the playoffs 6 times. Like, have the Jets done that of late? Have I missed something? Like, had the Jets won any playoff games? So he's literally going to leave a scenario off his career year so far, a team that he's won the division with, gone to the playoffs with, to go to a team that's going to be the bottom of that division, walking in the door, and he's going to handicap them with them trading away at least 2, maybe 3 first-round picks. That doesn't sound like a plan for success. That sounds like you just want marketing money. Cool. But that's not going to help you if your career doesn't pan out, if you're going to be getting hurt all the time. So I hate the strategy. I hate how they've handled all this. The grass isn't always green. I'll just kind of leave it at that.
The other thing too is, like, if you have any reservations about the possibility of finding yourself in this position, and I get that everything changed for him and Bill O'Brien was fired in the middle of the season, but don't sign the contract. Cause you can play on the franchise. You can play out your first round rookie deal. You can play on the franchise tag. You can make a lot of money while leaving your options for leaving open. And that's a pretty different situation than what he's faced with right now. So, but do you think right now he gets traded?
No, because they don't even have a head coach yet. I mean, why are we making decisions on your roster and what's going to happen? I mean, I think cooler heads prevail. I think they get through this. And if it is Bieniemy or Leslie Frazier or, I think I saw what the assistant head coach for the LA Rams who was interviewing as well. I mean,
not Brian Daboll is what you mean.
No, I mean, they, you know, it doesn't sound like he's a part of that conversation, but, the reality is they need to wait. He needs to wait and see who they hire and then revisit the conversation, see what the vision is. Look, if it ends up being Eric Bieniemy, it'd be a huge mistake on Deshaun Watson's part if he's not going to go talk to Eric and say, what's your plan for me? What do you want to do? I'm really frustrated with the ownership here, how they've handled things. But then Eric can just say to him, look, man, like I came here in part because of you.
If you pound the table for Eric Bieniemy and demand that they interview Eric Bieniemy and then they hire Eric Bieniemy and you demand a trade, you've really screwed Eric Bieniemy.
Well, yeah, I mean, because he's probably potentially taking that job, you know, thinking that you're going to be a part of it. But that may also be a reason why some people don't want this job. If you don't have the franchise quarterback, you don't have Watson, you might be saying to yourself, like, how attractive is this job? Not as much as it would have been if he was there. So they're not going to make any decision anytime soon. They don't have to. They need to worry about hiring their head coach and then let that head coach talk to Deshaun, provide a vision for him moving forward. And then you revisit the conversation. And, you know, if you're Cal McNair, you just look, stop talking to the guy. You're already paying him millions of dollars. It's like you don't need to be best friends with a guy who's on their team just because he's a superstar. You know, just pay the guy what he deserves and then stay out of it and allow the people you hire to do their job of hiring the best possible people to allow your team and having success, getting to the playoffs, trying to win a Super Bowl.
All right, so you're telling me Cal McNair doesn't know how to coach or build a I'm being sarcastic. Like, I agree. Let football people do football things.
Football. Yeah, I mean, it's like any other corporation. A lot of – especially when you see, like, corporations or businesses where, like, it's inherited to, like, the son or something else. It's like, how many of them actually know and have been at the ground level of that organization, like, build it up like the father, like the mother did, like whoever started the company did? Like, and when it goes through generations – you know, a lot of times, you know, people are inherited into already high level positions. They have no idea what it takes. And so, you know, for Cal McNair, you know, he might fall into that category, but like, unless he has some sort of background in history, coaching or building, you know, a football franchise and organization, which I don't know that he has, I would say leave it to the people that you hire. And that way it makes it a little easier too to fire them when they are fully responsible instead of you playing a hand in all of this. When they're looking at you being like, you're pointing the finger at me. What about you? What about what you told our quarterback? What about you said to this guy?
That's a good point. All right. That's the Brady Quinn Football Show. Make sure and check out the feed. We'll have tons of great stuff coming up this week as we prepare for the Super Bowl. And I will talk to you Tampa, Brady.
I know. Sunny Tampa. It'll be fun.
All right, man.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.